PPI.org.
Good evening. Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Hello, Charlene.
I'm out here, in here, over here.
You're there.
Good evening, everyone.
We have several people in the studio and out of the studio as well. This week, we are speaking to Sherry Wallace from the Wallace Group, who will be talking about several things, one of them being their class number 39. Wow. Of the partners in policymaking. And joining her will be three of the class participants that have worked hard in this, I'm understanding. Arbdella Hudson. Good evening, Arbdella.
Good evening, Sam. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. And Cassie Callis. Sorry.
Yep, you got it. Hi, Sam.
Hello. And then Nicole Laudant. Is that right?
Laudant.
Okay.
Hi, nice to see you.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for coming. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you guys being here. Sherry, are you here?
I am here. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We certainly can. So
great.
Thank you so much for being the outside participant.
Yes, right.
I want to go around first by, let's see, Sherry, why don't you just give a little description of what policy, partners in policymaking is, since people who've just tuned in may not have heard you before.
Okay. Be glad to. It is a training program that individuals, 35 individuals, are in this program from September to May. They spend Fridays and Saturdays once a month in this program, skipping December because December always has so many other things going. But right. These are individuals with disabilities as adults, or these are parents raising children with disabilities. And the dynamic is so powerful in each class as they are studying different things. They hear about the history of how people with disabilities have been treated. Then they talk about school and what are their responsibilities as parents with educators and getting a good education for their children. And then they talk about the county. And what does the county do to be part of helping families with disabilities? Basically, the county supplies the money. Woohoo! But then they talk about housing, and they talk about jobs, and they talk about how do you connect with your legislator. In March, we go to the Capitol and have, although in the past couple of years, that's been very difficult if the Capitol's been closed or things have been shut down. But that is a very powerful experience there. Then they, in April, they're hearing about the congressional decision-makings, decisions that are made on a congressional level in Washington, D.C. And then this month in May, it's the very last class. It's the graduation. But they will learn about opportunities that they can be leaders in their own community, because the goal is that they become better advocates for themselves and others with disabilities. And these are three people from this class that were just outstanding in how they took the ball and ran with it. And they are all, you'll hear, they are all doing very well to advocate for disabilities and to bring people's attention to, we want individuals to have as many opportunities as any citizen. So their stories will be fascinating.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I mean, we've had you on before. I don't know if every state, I can't remember if every state has something like
At one point, every state had a partners in policymaking program. This is where it started, and it spread to Denmark and Ireland and Australia, and it just really caught hold because of the value of speaking up. And the training teaches you to speak up in many different avenues for yourself if you have disabilities or for your children. But at one point, every state had a program. That's not the case now. It ends up being a very expensive program because you bring in experts. And so these people in the studio have heard experts from around the country who really have stood up and been very strong advocates in their lives.
And, you know, so, I can't imagine that, especially now, it just feels so much like each state really needs a program like this. So,
yes,
I do want to start out by having each person introduce themselves. Please, if you would go around and introduce yourself, where you live and the connection you have to the to disability. So, Abdella, do you want to start?
Yes. Thanks, Sam. Mm-hmm. My name is Abdella Hudson. I live in St. Paul, and I'm a person with disabilities who advocate for myself and others. I've been diagnosed with multiple head injuries, formerly known as traumatic brain injury, but today they identify it as BI.
Really?
And I'm glad to be here.
Huh. I didn't know they changed that, so good to know.
Yes.
I'm Nicole Loudant, and I live in Maple Grove, and I am the single mom of a four-year-old with autism, and I'm a very big advocate for school inclusion.
I'm Cassie Callis. I live in Plymouth with my husband, and we have three children with a condition called Fragile X syndrome.
So I need to just take a step a minute sideways here. Nicole, I used to live in Maple Grove.
Oh, really?
Did you hear about the bear?
I'm always hearing about the bears on the neighborhood apps into the bird feeders.
I was rooting for the bears. I was like, go bears. You know, everything's got to eat.
And don't leave your bird food out.
Don't leave your bird food
next to the bear's
out.
Home.
That's right. So anyway, I digress. But anyway, thank you for that. I'm sure that this has taught you guys a lot of different things. So can we talk about, first of all, go around, and I don't care what order you go in, so you guys can decide amongst yourself, but talk about why you decided to sign up for Partners in Policymaking and, you know, by that program.
Well, so it's Nicole, and I decided to sign up because I had an awful IEP meeting with my son's schools, well, several school districts, actually, and I was incredibly frustrated with the lack of creativity and the lack of inclusion opportunities that they were giving him. And I was just so incredibly frustrated at 4 o'clock in the morning at my computer, Googling and thinking to myself, this can't be how the system is. And Google brought me to Partners in Policymaking, and it has absolutely been life-changing, not only for myself, but for my son too.
Who next?
I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Cassie. So mine is kind of a long journey. I lived on the East Coast with my family for many years, and we moved to Minnesota in 2019. Mm-hmm. And previously, we had never had any issues with the school. My boys had pretty much everything I could ask for them and more. And when we moved to Minnesota, we encountered a very different situation. And I found myself really struggling to advocate for my sons. I just felt like I didn't have the knowledge that I needed. And so I found PACER, probably from Googling, and I did a bunch of webinars through PACER, and I attended a early childhood family learning summit. And that was super educational for me, just learning about IEPs and different ways to advocate. And after participating in that, the leader sent out an email advertising partners in policymaking. And I was super thrilled because I was just looking for more opportunities to learn more so that I could better advocate. So I think I got the email and applied like in the same minute. So I had to wait many months to find out if I got in because I applied right away. But yeah, that was my story.
Okay.
I'm Marv Della Hudson, and I've been diagnosed and I've incurred multiple head injuries, starting at birth before they had a name for it. And I came in contact and my interest in policy making through a disability writing program that I was a part of, and I was encouraged to go further. And I had a personal interest myself because I'm a recipient of a waiver program. Currently, they're making tremendous adjustments to that program now, and I was having trouble with services and didn't know where to go, what to do. And when I heard about policy and what I could learn there and the opportunities, I jumped on it and I took the advice of friends, family, and colleagues.
Excellent. Thank you. So, Nicole,
yes.
I can relate to some of this frustration in school stuff because one of my sons is dyslexic and has a processing disability, although, you know, shouldn't have been a problem really, but they made it a problem.
They're good at that.
Can you tell me what, you know, what things did you feel were not being met?
So my son really struggles with social skills and emotional regulation. Mm-hmm. He does not have a cognitive or language delay. And really the only choices that the school was providing me was an exclusionary classroom for him just because he was diagnosed with autism. And that was not an appropriate fit for him, I felt like. I felt like he could be successful in the classroom along with a para support or his behavioral therapist support, which is what I was asking for. And the answer was just no, we don't do that. And despite continuing to advocate for him, the answer was just no, that they don't do that. And that was my only choice, was to put him into an exclusionary classroom. So I eventually just said no, and I declined an IEP for him and just enrolled him as a mainstream student in preschool. And he has been super successful. He needed maybe 8 weeks of support from a para, and then now he's just on his own and completely in a mainstream classroom being successful, a typical four-year-old.
And it's interesting you said 8 weeks of a para support, but that's like, if you think about it, that's like nothing in the lifetime of schooling that the kids will have. And sometimes it does amaze me with what it is true. There's a little bit of work, you know, on the short end, but in the long run, it will work out much better if they would just take the, you know, take the little bit of work that it would take. So let's see, which one has children with Fragile X?
That would be me,
that
Cassie.
Would be Cassie. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what Fragile X syndrome is?
Yeah, it's an intellectual disability. It is. It has a wide spectrum. It's very similar to autism in that way. It is the only known genetic cause of autism, actually, although it doesn't always cause autism. But it looks very similar. There's a lot of sensory processing struggles, obviously cognitive delays. There's a lot of behaviors, communication problems. So it's a wide spectrum. Some people, you know, you maybe wouldn't know right away. And then there's some people that are, you know, more severely affected and, you know, can't communicate. Both of my sons struggle with communication.
And you have two or three?
I have two sons and a daughter, and all three of them have Fragile X.
And what are their ages?
My oldest is about to turn 11, and I have an 8-year-old, and then my daughter just turned 5.
So this is a genetic...
Yes, it is. Gotcha. Yes, I'm a carrier. So in my case, I passed on the Fragile X, and it fully mutated is what it's called in all three of my children. Although my daughter is developing typically so far, because it's Fragile X because it's on the X chromosome.
Yes.
So my daughter has a healthy X, you know, given by my husband that compensates for her affected X, whereas my boys obviously don't. So they are more severely affected.
Mm. When you say more severely, could you give an example?
Sure. So, I mean, I don't like to talk about high or low functioning or scores or levels, but just to kind of illustrate, my boys are more similar to toddlers in a lot of ways when it comes to safety awareness and some of their cognitive abilities. My oldest son struggles a lot with sensory processing, in particular auditory processing. He wears noise-canceling headphones. He struggles in public places, very, very sensitive to sounds and crowds. And my middle son is much more outgoing and doesn't struggle as much. He's more sensory seeking. So he loves like rough and tumble play and basketball and people and, mm-hmm. and is very social. But they both still have those cognitive delays and just sensory issues in different areas.
What aspects of the program from the, you know, if it's the presentations or the interactions and meetings with legislatures, or what were the most interesting, surprising, and caused you to think differently about yourself and others? So who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
The interacting with the presenters and being in this program, mm-hmm. not only did the presenters present, they also allowed for use of what was taught during the presentation, helping to clearly understand how to use the skills and training that was presented in the Partners Program, which help encourage and build leadership and advocacy skills, both for the parents, caregivers, the individual with disabilities, and a lot of empowerment come from that and self-confidence as mm-hmm. well in the disability arena, as far as where to get information, how to get information, and training in many other aspects of disability on the information and what's really out there.
Did a lot of the stuff you learned surprise you about what your rights were and things like that?
Yes, a lot surprised me because I was unaware, because the people that are in authority and that's responsible for making sure that we get that type of information, caregivers and people that are in the field providing delivery of services, it's just not an open book.
Yes.
And therefore, it hinders a certain part that could be more beneficial to the individual, whether you're helping them or if it's yourself, like myself.
Abdullah, I'm curious because I too am not immune when I sometimes get really frustrated, but it's easy to get very angry when you're dealing with some of the people and you're trying to advocate. Is there, what keeps you calm when you're advocating for yourself?
Training, of course, and having knowledge and self-awareness, awareness of the individual, and knowledge. And a lot of that's obtained through various training programs, and advocacy itself and going through the Partners Program has really enriched and informed me, and being able to go to the Capitol and know my representation, their names, and being able to be a part of the policy process and perhaps even implement bills and meet those people.
Great, thank you. Well, Cassie or Nicole, which one wants to go?
I can go, Nicole. It's so hard to pick just one thing is like the most influential, because well, it all is just so important.
You can actually go down the list and just tell me like how these different things were influential. It's
yeah.
Fine.
So first and foremost, I think the thing that made the biggest difference for me, or that I liked, was just the community aspect of the class itself. The other participants, the relationships that you build with them, and not feeling so alone. I think that's one of the big things that as a parent of a kid with a disability, you're out there advocating and you just feel like you're up against a brick wall all the time. And you hear the word no a lot. And it's so nice to go into a ballroom full of people who understand what that feels like and who also have experiences that they can lend their hand to and give you advice. And I say it's like my church or like my AA that I go to every month. It's like it's just a great space to go and to be understood. So that's my ultimate favorite part about it. The speakers are wonderful. I have learned how to communicate more effectively with people that disagree with my opinion, rather than just continuing to shove it in their face, finding a way to work with people that so you're successful and everybody gets what they want. And I think the connections too. So every class we get the, you know, emails and phone numbers of these really important people, and we send them emails and they email us back. And it's, you know, we get to talk to people from the Department of Education and people who are experts in public speaking. And it's just great to be able to have all those resources right at your fingertips. And also being very comfortable talking with a microphone. If you had asked me to do this a year ago, I would have said absolutely no.
And I'll ask you the same thing. What keeps you calm in times of extreme frustration?
Wine would be my answer to that.
Excellent. I can relate to that one.
Yeah, and just focusing on why I'm there and what I'm there for, and for my son, and making sure I'm doing what's best for him, advocating, and so he is in the least restrictive environment possible.
Cassie?
Yeah, I echo a lot of what Nicole said. I think the community is the first thing that stuck out to me. Just from the very first day, the very first session, I felt super comfortable with everybody. You know, social situations can be kind of awkward sometimes when you have children with disabilities and nobody else does, and they're talking about things that you don't relate to or that you can't contribute to. So I think just that warmth right away, and making those connections and making friends for life, is really important, because we all really need that support network as we're advocating for ourselves or for our children. And then another favorite is just the presenters were amazing and very inspiring. And for me personally, I came into this very burnt out with advocating, and I am still burnt out. It's like a full-time job. But I am inspired and I'm educated much more than I was before. And I think for me, there's only so many times that I can get an evaluation or a piece of paper that describes my children as severely affected or severe or severely discrepant, or, you know, see the age in number of months that they are, you know, cognitively. And it can wear you down. And so one of my favorite presenters, I remember him saying that he doesn't call people with disabilities people with disabilities. He calls them people with possibilities. And that was Patrick Schwarz. I don't know if I said his last name right. Yeah. But and that sticks with me. I remind myself of that all the time. And he showed, you know, pictures and slides and gave data on all the children and adults he's worked with and how successful they've been and how they've been fully included in school. And these would be people, children like mine, that are quote unquote severely affected. And yet they are still able to do so much more and able to be included. Another speaker on customized employment was super inspiring for me because, you know, he said there isn't one person that he's worked with that he couldn't find a job for. And it just, you know, I have high hopes for my kids. I see their potential. But when you're constantly sitting around tables with people that are telling you otherwise, you know, it takes its toll. So I've been completely inspired. I see more potential in my children. I see more possibilities for them. And I know what the options are now. Now I know, you know, what I can advocate for in school and how to do it. I know what community options there are, you know, waivers from the county. I know that they can get a job. I know that for sure now. And coming into that, I would have thought, I don't know if my kids can work or live alone. And now I'm like, yep, we're going to do it. I know the way. And, you know, so it's super inspiring, super hopeful, and just so informative. There, we get slides after every session that, you know, we can come back to and that are resources forever now. So it's not just educational while you're in the conference, but it's for your lifetime. So, yeah, I mean, I could go on, but I won't.
Yeah. I have an entire bookshelf now full of resources that they've given us.
But where do you dig down deep when you have sources of frustration and time? You have three kids.
Yes.
Good grief. And it's one thing to have three kids and one with a disability, but if you have, you know, all three kids with different things going on, it's got to be a lot. So what do you do?
Yeah, it is. That is something I am still working on and figuring out. I don't have it all figured out yet. I have little mottos. My favorite one that's gotten me through the last couple of the years is what stands in the way becomes the way. That's my favorite quote. And I continually tell myself that. And when there's an obstacle or someone tells me no at school or I feel frustrated, I just remind myself, and okay, what are we going to make out of this? How am I going to make this better for my kids and their classmates with disabilities? And, you know, what change am I going to make out of this? And breathing. I've been working on breathing lately. So,
yeah. And it can be so frustrating. And I imagine, you know, being, you know, I teach technology and things to people with disabilities, and I can tell you that you're taught, you know, you're raised in this certain, even if you have a disability, a certain realm of things, and you're taught if the person is going to be successful or not, and there's this line and there's this measurement and then there's a way to teach. But how many people teach outside the box is what I like to call it. How many people are willing to go and do something different? And especially in your situation of the of a public school situation, which I do think that, you know, most kids, I think, should be integrated into classrooms. There can be exceptions where it can be hard. But I really feel like a lot of kids that, you know, even weren't in the same classroom as other kids 20 years ago even, more of them are being put in the same classroom, and more of them should be.
Yes.
I think I give the teachers credit because I will say I teach generally one person at a time. Sometimes I have more than one, but I will tell you that I can't imagine having 24, 27, whatever kids and teaching outside the box for just one or a couple. Or, you know, I think that would be very difficult. I think that's what you have your parents for, but how many teachers utilize that? So, I'm glad to see that you're getting so much. I I wonder if each of you would go around and tell me one really positive story that you have done or seen happen in the way you've been advocating after this, you know, as you've moved through this program.
I'll start.
Okay. You are so brave, Abdella. Sam, you just go for it, don't you?
Sam, I was listening to you when you spoke on you teach people with disabilities technology. Uh-huh. And that's a real touchy piece. I had a child with disabilities. This was before PACER and many years ago. But today, and policy for me, I'm an adult with developmental disabilities. And from partners, I've been able to network. There's been a story that the writing classes that I took, the style of teaching and their approach to the individual from the neurodiverse thinking perspective, which enabled me to grow and to understand my disability, not my disability, but my challenge better, and to live a life of choice. And partners, I learned what inclusion really means and what it is, and having a network as such. There's multiple persons with disabilities, not just parents, but many other areas that I've been able to make choices on where I want to direct my advocacy or the advocate. And I've become a much better advocate in attitude, where to find information, what's really out there, what's available. And another thing about the presenters, we can always call or go back, set up a meeting. If they open themselves up that it was more than just a class, they're always open. But things are different for an adult with disabilities. And for me in particularly, people sometimes misunderstand me. People have little knowledge because it's a disability that you can't identify or you don't see. Exactly. And if you're not dedicated to the individual, you will know. And a lot of times, you know, there's feelings of rejection and a number of different things that comes with brain injury, that comes with an adult with disabilities.
Thank you. Cassie, or Nicole, actually. I'll pick on you next.
Perfect.
Why don't you tell me something that you feel like you've done in a positive role at going through this class, something you've noticed that you were able to achieve?
Yeah. So my son, luckily, I was able to advocate for him to be included in a mainstream classroom, and he is successful there, and he's going to be going to a mainstream classroom next year too, just as a typical student. But something that I always think about, and this class has made me consider, is thinking about advocating on a much larger scale, that it's not just about my son, it's about all the other kids with that this is happening to, and that they're being put in exclusionary classrooms when they shouldn't be. And so I actually just recently ran for and got elected to a school board in St. Paul.
Congratulations.
And so I really hope to use my knowledge, and especially of inclusion, and help that school start thinking about those things differently in the way that they're educating their students.
Great. Cassie.
Yeah, so on a more personal level, I think my oldest son, who struggles a little bit more and is in a more restrictive setting in school, I was able to advocate successfully for a lot more inclusion for him than he's ever had, well, that he's ever had in Minnesota. And he's been so successful and happy in those settings with his general education peers. And I think it's had a positive effect on the culture and environment in his school. I think the school that he's in particular really struggles with inclusion and with creating an environment that's supportive of people with disabilities. So I think that that's one really positive thing that's come out of this. I got some good tools that I used to get him more inclusion that he deserves. He still deserves more, but I'll take it for now. And it's just been
baby steps.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'm working on it. And I think just the confidence I've gained. I spoke at our school board meeting on Monday, just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And I am hopeful for the outcome. And I think I'll continue to be able to have the confidence to do more things like that, to advocate for the students and his program as a whole, and not just my son.
Great. So why don't you each go around and tell me why would you recommend this program to others, and who do you think would benefit most from this type of program? Who wants to start?
I would say anybody who, you know, has a child with a disability and who feels alone. That was one of the very big things that brought me to this class, is that it's very isolating to have a child with a disability. And this class just really provides that community for you. I can't say it enough. I will never forget the first class that we had, and they had previous participants. And they said, by the end of this class, you're going to have friends for life. And I think all of us were just like, yeah. And here we sit at the end of the class, and it's so true that we all are going to be friends and resources for each other, and our kids are going to play together and all these things because of partners in policymaking. And that is seriously priceless for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who I wouldn't recommend it for. I mean, any parent of a child with a disability, any self-advocate, I mean, there's so much value in the course that, I mean, I've already told anybody I know that has kids with disabilities, I've told them about this opportunity. This is the handbook. Like, when you have a child with a disability, or you're a self-advocate, you know, I'm speaking from a parent perspective, so you don't get a handbook. You know, when my son was diagnosed with Fragile X syndrome, I had to go on Google. Mm-hmm. Like, I had never heard of it. Mm-hmm. So I had to educate myself about his disability. When he was in school, I had to learn, like, what is an IEP? Nobody pulls you aside and says, you're going to do this, early intervention. Now you do an IEP, and this is the process, and this is how it works, and this is what your rights are, and this is what your child's rights are. I mean, there's no handbook. You're thrown into it. And then on top of that, you have the chaos of your daily life and raising your children. So it's hard to even find the time to educate yourself. So this goes from, you know, as Sherry said, it's school, it's employment, it's county services, it's housing. It goes to the legislative level. So I've made connections with my senator and representative, and it's the guidebook for the whole journey. So it's what every parent needs, I think, because it is really hard to access that information. Mm-hmm. I did not know that there were waivers my kids could be on. I was fighting for things that I kind of thought were a good idea, but, like, this has given me the affirmation that, actually, yes, this is your kid's right, and this is why it's their right, and this is how you get it. So, like I said, to me, it's just the ultimate, like, handbook for disability. So I've already recommended it to a lot of people, and I hope anyone that's listening will check it out, because it is, so worthwhile.
And Arbdella, why would you recommend this program to somebody?
I would recommend Partners in Policymaking to anyone who has a family member or anyone that's directly delivering services, and to individuals with disabilities themselves, and particularly and especially those that are not immediately identifiable, which falls in the range of developmentally, differently thinking, differently processing, because the network that's available, the individuals that's there that has disabilities themselves and work with others with disabilities, it would enable them to understand and know the resources that's out there available and how to use those resources. And this program has enriched my life, has improved my quality of well-being, as well as opened doors and allowed me to be able to be involved with other organizations with adults with disabilities and advocate for them as well.
Thank you. Okay, who am I going to bust for not silencing their phone?
It's me. It's me.
I'm just kidding. Sort of. You know what the thing is?
I thought I did. I swear.
You know what's so funny is I had somebody who came on the show, and he ran a cable TV program. He should have known better, and he didn't silence his phone. So it's all good.
I'm turning it off now. We've
all been there and done it. I thought I would just, you know, I'm the teacher.
Someone's got to do it, right?
Who did that? Can we talk a minute about the day at the legislature, the Capitol? Does anybody want to talk about what that was like for them? And was it different than what you expected? And if so, how?
Yeah, I was not expecting to be so well received. I think you hear a lot about politicians and, like, you know, things don't get done. And I didn't have a whole lot of confidence, you know, when I reached out to my people. But I got responses immediately. I got appointments, and my senator and representative in particular took a lot of time with me and really cared about what I was saying. And like I said, have continued to follow up with me. So I was very surprised about that. And I didn't think about it the way it was presented to us, that you can be a resource for these people. Like, they don't know about these issues necessarily. They don't know about the ways that disabilities are affecting families, the way that education is not being run properly when it comes to special education. So they don't have, you know, they can't know about every issue. And I never thought about, well, hey, like, you could just make a connection with this person and then they can call on you when an issue comes up. I just never thought about it on a more personal level like that. So that was something I learned, and I did make good connections. And I think, you know, you look at them as politicians sometimes, but they are people. And a lot of times they you know,
sometimes you wonder.
Yes. Right. Right. But my experience was positive. And I think, you know, people can get burnt out over time, but I think the people that I met with, they care, and that's a lot of times why you get into a job like that, is because you care. So I was really encouraged and surprised.
Abdella, what was it like for you being at the Capitol? Did it surprise you, and if so, why?
Sam, having a brain injury, I met with the wrong legislator. Nevertheless, this person listened. I felt heard. The issues was addressed and did not even advise me that it wasn't the legislator of my area.
Oh, wow.
In St. Paul. And I learned from that I am, and people are being heard. There are people there that do care. There are policies and legislation and people working with those things to try to make a difference and understand what it is that they can do to change things or meet the needs of disabilities as a whole. They are there.
Nicole, it sounds almost like yours was a little tougher.
Me, my experience?
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunately, this is going to be my plug for we need to pay people more that take care of kids with disabilities. So my PCA quit, so I did not have childcare that day. So I was unable to attend that day.
You should have brought them.
I suppose I could have. And been like, you take care of them for a few hours, see how it goes.
Brought them and turned them loose in the office and said, okay, this is a day in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that must have been hard. But, you know, I'm not sure what Sherry thinks of this, but I do encourage you guys to bring your kids to things like, if not like short meetings, knowing that you may not get a ton out of it. But I think these people don't always see all these different disabilities. Yeah. And I really think that's beneficial for them. They don't see what the parent goes through. They hear your stories, but it's not the same as watching. Sherry, I'm curious to your comments on or what your thoughts are on that.
I really like the idea. Not only does it give your child a sense of this is part of the world, mm-hmm. or people have meetings and they're all adults and you're going to this place or this place, and it just helps introducing them to the rest of the world.
Right.
But, you also, a big part of partners is in the word partners in policymaking, that we all go through life and some people are easily our partners. They get it right away. They really want to help you. And then other people are, they sort of ignore you.
And those
and
are the
they
ones
don't
that need
really
to see
want
it.
To hear your story, yeah. mm-hmm. but you still want to eventually treat them as if they are going to be your partner someday. And the whole thing about at Partners, you learn the proper protocol to interacting with legislators. You use the right words. Also, you send thank you notes. Mm-hmm. And that's all part of really introducing yourself to their world. Certainly, if you have your son or daughter with you, you are giving them a chance to interact and see that's also part of your world. And it's, yeah, I think it's respectful of them and respectful of your situation that they are part of what you're talking about. And clearly you can make it so it's an easy interaction, but still make it possible for them to get a taste of getting to know your son or daughter. One thing, just in talking about that whole theme of partners in policymaking, just the story of one individual picking on Maple Grove again. Hmm. Her daughter, her son was in kindergarten, and she came into Partners just about to beat up that kindergarten teacher. You don't understand, blah, blah, blah. You're not on my side. But the theme of Partners comes through over and over again. She finally realized, you know, I am not that kindergarten teacher is not my enemy. They are really after the same thing. She said, I'm the one that has to change. And she ended up with, by January, really beginning to have a good relationship with that teacher. And it ended up, of course, much more beneficial for the student. And that's just part of what Partners talks about. Certainly you go to legislators or you go to the IEP meeting, which you as a parent are in charge of. That's mm-hmm. what a lot of parents don't realize.
Right.
It's their meeting and they are in charge of. But you also want to, with all those naysayers, whether it's a school board or the county board or that teachers in the IEP meeting, you want to treat them that they will eventually become a good partner with you because you will remind them of the whole, the bigger issue and what that's all about. So I think bringing your child to the meeting, you could definitely bring things that will keep them busy so you could have the meeting, or maybe you make sure it's just a short meeting, but that your son or daughter is part of your world and what you're talking about. And they can see how you respect your son or daughter. And that's part of them getting a sense of this is seeing the potential. Another last thing just to say real briefly, one woman said, I thank, she said this in the May, the very last class, I thank partners because when I first started, I was regretting that my son was ever part of my life. Aww. She said now, and she said, I'm sorry to say that to all of you, but I now feel hope. That is what I'm getting from this class. I have hope for their future. I have hope for the world that's going to be for them. And that totally changes a parent's attitude when you have hope for your child. And that's what I'd wish for every single parent that comes through the Partners class, because that is so powerful.
Sherry, real quick, talk about how someone signs up for the next Partners in Policymaking class.
Yeah, thank you. Partners in Policymaking is on the internet, but you want to get to Partners in Policymaking MN, because that's the program in Minnesota. There are many in other states, but you want the Minnesota program. It's for Minnesota parents raising children with disability or Minnesota adults with disabilities.
But there are people who may be listening in other states now. So if they query Partners in Policymaking, they might find and put their state's initials?
Definitely. Okay. Definitely put your state there. If not, move to Minnesota. You know, that's all there is to it. You
know? It's that good of a program.
It is. I want to also say it's free. Mm-hmm. And we make sure that it's easy as pie to come. We pay for your transportation and reimburse you for gas mileage, reimburse you if you had to have somebody else watch your kids while you were in the class. We pay for your meals and all of your training material. You're going to go home with a whole file cabinet full of materials, and as people have mentioned. But that's, we want to launch you into being the strongest advocate you can be for your children and for your community. One county in this state is committed that they have seen such changes in people in their state, in their county, who have taken the Partners program. They want one person from their county every single year to be accepted into the program. And that will change. If you have hopeful, assertive parents, you get a change in those kids that are being raised in that county.
Thank you, Sherry. Just a reminder, this is Disability and Progress. Hey, I didn't tell you to start. Oh, my goodness. And the views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFA. I guess we're going to wrap it up. So thank you guys very much for coming. I really appreciate it. It's been great. And you guys were excellent.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Good luck, everyone. This has been Disability and Progress. The views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFEI or its board of directors. My name is Sam, and I'm the host of the show. Charlene Dahl is my research team. And if you want to be on my emailing list, you can email me at disabilityandprogresswithsamjasmine@samjasmine.com. This week, we were speaking with Sherry Wallace from the Wallace Group, along with some participants, which... Okay, I know we're at the end, but that's okay. For the participants that were here, were Arbdella Hudson and Cassie Callis and Nicole Laudant. And thank you very much, Sherry, for putting this together. We always appreciate that. It's been great, and you did a great job.
Thank you for having us.
Yep. Good night.
KFAI.